Adam Lapp.
The best part of waking up, it's the doo-wop, doo-wop in all I do. The mountain goat aroma, always coming through.
Always coming through.
Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Now I'm right in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop ditty. Oh, one more cup and it's a hoo-wop, shoo-wop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Folgers, or whatever your favorite brand of warm beverage is, in your coffee cup or other receptacle for delicious beverages, and in your eardrums. It's yours truly, Adam Lepp, back for the second of two shows that I do on Tuesday here at the Talking Place, WWGH. Good morning, and thank you so much for listening. Little chilly outside, but that's okay. This great program will most assuredly warm you up. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break, although when we have Dr. Feynman on, it's called the Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Dr. Feynman will be along shortly to discuss the myriad political events happening in the great world that we live in. As I mentioned last hour, there's always a wisecracker, too, and at least every 13 minutes you will hear a less-than-serious anecdote, because that's how we roll here on the station. Never can take yourself too seriously. Dr. Feynman, who's been a professor at multiple universities in different locations, the great United States that we hang our hat in. He has written two books. He's a blogger and frequent contributor to Facebook and Twitter. Always great to have him on, and we much appreciate that he takes time out of his busy schedule to appear here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. If you ever miss a show of mine or any of our fine hosts or hostesses, yes, well, that's okay, because you can go to our website, WWGH1071.com, look at the show archives and download or listen to on demand a favorite program, or maybe one that you missed, from Scott, from Charlie, from Pastors Brett and Rhett, and many, many others. Also, we have a private email server, just like Hillary, of course, but we have one also. And it's maintained by yours truly, so you know it's going to be secure, reliable, and very fast. You can email me, Scott, Charlie, Sean, or Terry. First name at WWGH1071.com. It'd be my pleasure to hear from you. We welcome questions, comments, suggestions, and even complaints. That's okay if you don't agree with us. No problem whatsoever. We welcome what you have to say. It's important on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Last but not least, if you would like to be a sponsor or underwriter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show or Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, that would be wonderful. You will receive frequent exposure on this station, both with respect to coming out of the dulcet tones of myself, Scott, and Charlie, and their other hosts. That is, we'll mention you on the air, and you'll be mentioned on the website and on our Facebook page. And also, I'll probably plug it in Twitter, because we appreciate people who are sponsors and underwriters. It will benefit your business or organization, and pricing is very, very reasonable. Probably less than you thought it might be, and it's a very good investment. Send me an email. Let's talk about it. Adam@WWGH1071.com. Last but not least, before Dr. Feynman enters the studio, he is filling up his coffee mug as we speak. Please become a fan of ours on Facebook, WWGH107.1. Bookmark it, make it a favorite, contribute, read our posts, comment, ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge us. We welcome feedback of all kinds from valued listeners like yourself. Dr. Feynman is entering the studio as we speak. So as he gets comfortable and we go over some final preparation for today's show, please stand, take a knee, go to the restroom, do what you wish. for the playing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
We're joined by Dr. Ronald Fineman, our official or unofficial political and presidential commentator and historian here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Of course, it's hard for a week to go by, especially when the week included the election results, when there isn't enough to talk about that's going to fill up at least a 47-minute show. So even if I talk fast, I'm sure we'll run out of topics. But I guess the silver lining, Ron, with this administration is that it's been a busy, productive time for any of the news networks, fake and otherwise, and, of course, local-operated talk shows like this one, like Scott's show, like any local talk show discussing politics and current events. First, before we talk about some of the current issues, Ron, and maybe some of the election results, let's talk about a topic, although important, may not be quite as serious or earth-shattering as the others. There are a lot of current living vice presidents still floating around. We even talked about Joe Biden might have presidential aspirations for 2020. Again, Walter Mondale, one of my favorite presidential candidates and vice presidents, is still alive. Of course, George H.W. Bush, a former president and former vice president. Any comments about that? How do you think that might be affecting the current political landscape with not only several ex-presidents, but several ex-vice presidents still living?
Well, and also, Minnie, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me again, Adam. So anyway, we also have a lot of former first ladies living, so people living longer because of medical technology, medical advancements, and of course, when you are from the top elite, meaning presidents, vice president, or first lady, I'm sure you get the best medical attention possible, so that also helps, because like George H.W. Bush had a number of serious illnesses over the years, but now on November 25th, which is almost here, it's only another, about 2 weeks or so, he will be the longest-lived president, passing Gerald Ford, and he passed Ronald Reagan in October. So, and Jimmy Carter is going to reach the stage of passing Ford next March. So, the longevity is amazing. And Walter Mondale is going to be 90 in January, and that will make him and Carter another 90-year-old president and vice president, just like Reagan and Bush.
So, the possibility of Joe Biden having presidential aspirations for 2020 is very real. Is he too old? It's hard to say. He certainly has suffered from a charisma problem. He doesn't seem quite as interesting as any of the recent presidents who've always had a distinctive personality. But I think with his exposure, again, he was pretty well known during his reign with Mr. Obama. He's still very active politically. I think his charisma may have improved. You and I certainly agree with him on most of the issues. He's not an extreme left like Mr. Sanders, whom, you know, I really have a large dislike for, let's put it that way. Biden is more of a mainstream Democrat who's willing to listen to all sides of issues. I mean, he's very sharp. He's a hard worker and a good man. I mean, the same thing we might say about Carter, but he be coming into office with with a lot of experience, and compare that to the current president. I know I joked about this a little bit, but you don't see Mondale or Carter running for president in 2020, do you? I mean, we had Grover Cleveland, of course, being president non-consecutively, but you don't see Carter running again, do you? Is that something we can dream about?
No, because Carter will be 96 if he's still with us, and Mondale would be about 93. No. However, Jerry Brown, the governor of California, who was the youngest governor, is now the eldest governor, has had two terms and out 28 years and then came back. He will be 80 when he leaves office next year, and he is one of the leading Democrats in the state government speaking out against Trump. So some people even wonder if at age 82 he would run, but he says he's not, and I really would doubt he would. But I think Joe Biden will be 78 right after the election of 2020, November 20th is his birthday, so he's going to be 75 now. I think he'd be a great choice, except that I do think the age problem is something hard to overcome, because I do think we need a new generation of leadership. So I would not favor, but if he got the nomination, I'd be very excited, but worried about whether he could handle the stress of the job at such an advanced age. And he would need certainly a very young, a much younger vice president that's very competent to be there just in case.
Now, again, Biden is getting up there, and kind of like with Barbara Bush, it seems like he's always looked old, but he's very healthy. I mean, despite the jokes about him being up there, he's a healthy 75, and you never know at that age what might happen. But certainly he's still very visible. We talked about my fondness for his wife, Dr. Jill Biden. She could become the first lady.
She's wonderful. Right. She's a community college professor, I was, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you don't vote for the first lady, but I think it's part of the consideration. You do look at the family. And certainly Joe Biden's had some personal struggles. And Jill Biden, again, I admire her. Always like a woman with a PhD who is proud of her career, yet very faithful to her husband and understands her role. I think she'd be a great first lady. And we had Hillary as the first lady with an advanced college degree. And of course, seems like the controversy with her continues, but few people would doubt her qualifications and her tenacity. So you never know what might happen.
I want to say about Joe Biden that he has more experience than anybody who's ever run for president. He has had 36 years in the U.S. Senate, 8 years as vice president, and now he has to have a, quote, job, end quote. But he had 44 straight years from age 30. He actually got elected at 29. He did not reach 30 until a few weeks after he got elected in 1972. And then his first wife and his daughter were killed in an automobile accident, and his two sons were severely injured, and he considered not even taking his seat, but the senior members of the Democratic Party convinced him that he should. And he, of course, being in Delaware, right near the nation's capital, he was able to, to spend a lot of time with his sons as they recuperated in the hospital. And then he later married Jill, and they had a daughter together, and they're a wonderful couple, married 40 years now. The man has amazing experience. He was head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I think his foreign policy ideas are very interesting and very much make sense. And he was also head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is one of the longest serving senators ever, until he left to become vice president. And as vice president, it was like a bromance with Barack Obama. They got along so well, and he was in on every decision. And sometimes they didn't agree, but that's the way it should be. But the point is, they really got along well, and I think he was the most active and involved vice president, more than Walter Mondale, although he was for his time the most active, and more than Dick Cheney, who was the most for his time. So I think if it wasn't for his age, if he was like 8-10 years younger, I would have no doubt I would say he's the right man. But I am concerned about the fact of his age, that he will be 78.
Just ironically, when he was elected, he was one of the youngest people in Congress, and he was in his late 30s. We think of him as being old, but he's been around a long time.
Well, he was 30 when he took the oath. He was 29 and 11 months when he won. He couldn't take the oath until he was 30, but it didn't happen until January. But the fact is, he was only 30 years old, and that's the limit. Like Ted Kennedy was 30 is another example. Robert La Follette Jr. was 30, the son of the fighting Bob La Follette. But there's only been Henry Clay was 30, but only a few have ever come to the Senate at the youngest possible age of 30. So that makes him stand out that he's had a tremendous career, 44 years in government. Amazing.
We're talking with Dr. Ronald Fineman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Adam, being yours truly, Adam Lepp, good morning. Thank you so much for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Ron, it would seem that if Joe Biden, let's just pretend that he would become president or would run for president, he would be by far the most, the longest resume, the most qualified person to run for that office. We talked about Hillary being very qualified with her cabinet position, senator and first lady, but it seems like nobody would even come close to Biden. Has anybody in history had as much experience as Joe Biden has in federal government?
Not if you're going to talk about years. I mean, Lyndon Johnson had about 30 years in government, but that's not 44. Of course, he was much younger when he became vice president. No, nobody's ever matched his total experience of 36. I mean, there have been people who have had more than 36 years in the Senate. They about 10 or 12, but only 10 or 12 have had more. But, I mean, between that and the 8 years as vice president, I mean, if he had not become vice president, he would still be a senator. He would be going on his eighth term. He'd be having, by, you know, very soon, 48 years in the Senate. So the man is amazing, and he's productive. He's not just someone who's there and just hanging on. He is always very active, very engaged, and he's always got a viewpoint on everything. And he does say funny things sometimes or embarrassing things. He has a fault of talking too much. But in that respect, he reminds me of my earlier hero, because I consider Joe Biden my hero. The earlier hero was Hubert Humphrey, and he was much the same, talked too much, but he was always very active and very engaged and very inspiring. And I think Joe Biden is in that tradition of Hubert Humphrey.
Oh, talking about vice presidents who sometimes say things that maybe they would regret, Mr. Potato Head, that would be Dan Quayle, of course. You said he was 70, and he's one of the several living vice presidents. We don't hear much about him, even though he's from nearby Indiana. As I was talking to you about earlier today, Ron, we've always thought of Dan Quayle as being so young, kind of like how we think of Biden as being old, despite, ironically, that he was elected into office before he was even 30. But thinking of Dan Quayle as being 70, when he always seemed to be about 40 when he was vice president, that's a little unusual.
Yes, well, the thing of Dan Quayle is he's not talked about much now, but his son, Ben Quayle, was a one-term House member from Arizona, and I must say made a fool of himself when he made the statement against Obama. I understand he's the other party. He says, Obama's the worst president in American history. And I said, what kind of a statement is that to make? Are you a moron? I mean, how can you say that when we consider, if you know the history of the presidency, you know that's not true. You may not love him, but he's not the absolute worst ever. So the son-like father in that regard. And Dan Quayle did try for president in 1996. He was a candidate for the Republican nomination in 1996, but of course Bob Dole won it, and Quayle failed very quickly, and then we have not heard much from him since.
So we had a bird and a pineapple in the Republican primary, I guess.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
So, unusual, though, I guess, some of the other former vice presidents are still very visible. Of course, H.W. Bush also as president. I don't know if you really wouldn't count him. We hear a little bit from Dick Cheney, mostly about his hunting accident. That seems to be the legacy that he has most. And again,
Al Gore, who's been forgotten, but Al Gore is very important. He certainly is very involved in the environment and all that. And, I think Al Gore, I really still believe he won the presidency in 2000, but of course the Supreme Court intervened and that settled it that he was not going to be president. So I always tell students that he's the second Samuel Tilden. And they say, who's Samuel Tilden? And I say, he is a man who lost to Rutherford Hayes in 1876, although he had a margin of victory of 250,000 votes, but he did not win the Electoral College. That was the second of five times. So only Al Gore and Samuel Tilden are the only ones who won the popular vote. I guess you could also say Hillary Clinton could be added to that, actually, now, I guess, three times, assuming she does not run again, who won the popular vote, lost the election in the Electoral College, and never got to be president.
You don't think Al Gore has presidential aspirations?
Not if all this time. I mean, in fact, Al Gore is going to be 70 next year. So, he looks good, but no, I don't think so. He's been out of power, out of office since 2001, when he left the vice presidency. But he was an active vice president. Again, the vice presidency has grown in authority under all recent vice presidents except Dan Quayle, who was a total embarrassment, honestly, as vice president. So when George H.W. Bush had an atrial fibrillation at one point, troubles with his heart, and one time threw up with the Japanese prime minister at a state dinner, there were people saying, oh my gosh, please don't die on us. And he's still with us now, going to soon have the record for age. But I mean, there were people saying, oh my God, Danny Boy is president? And people were making jokes about it at the time because they felt he was not qualified to take the oath. But he would have if Bush had passed away.
Well, I think he'd do well in Idaho, where they make potatoes, because they'd remind him how to spell potato. And, of course, Idaho not being a very big state in the Electoral College, but I guess it would be okay. Remember, George McGovern only won Massachusetts against Richard Nixon, as I recall.
On the end, yeah.
But that would just be part of the fun of our plethora of presidential and political candidates. If you missed a previous episode of a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor, you can actually thank Al Gore. Now, didn't Al Gore invent the internet, Ron? I mention that because you can go to our website.
No, he never said that. That's a myth that was spread. He never actually said that, but that has become like a settled fact, in quotes, when it's not a fact. He never said that.
So it's an urban legend, almost like the potato spelling.
Urban legend, yes. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, whomever had the privilege of inventing the internet, we thank him or her, because if you go to our website at WGH1071.com, you can hear previous episodes of this show and hundreds of other shows that we broadcast on this station over the last 22 months or so. The government agencies that have been in the news under President Donald Trump, Ron, OSHA, the EPA, they, I guess, to put it mildly, would be in a bit of a state of turmoil. In fact, I guess Donald Trump wants to abolish the EPA. What do you think about
that? Yes, he does, and he's doing a great job at it right now. You know, he hasn't accomplished any legislation. He's only gotten Neil Gorsuch through on the Supreme Court. But as far as executive actions and not filling positions or putting incompetent people in positions in various agencies and on the courts, he's having a massive campaign of damaging the U.S. government. No question about it.
Do you think it could become a reality that the EPA could get dissolved? That just seems unthinkable. To me, the EPA is one of the most important government agencies. We have a serious issue with the acid rain and other environmental problems, and it's just unthinkable that the EPA could go the way of the hula hoop. I just don't see that, but
it's a horrifying thought. And, of course, just now, as I wrote on my blog, Nicaragua and Syria joined the Paris Climate Accords. Of course, Syria is involved in a civil war for its 7th year, but even they joined it in Nicaragua. Every country in the world is now agreeing to the Paris Climate Accords, which Barack Obama agreed to, but now we have withdrawn from that. So we're the one nation of the world, and I would say we're the pariah when it comes to the issue of the environment, because this is crazy, absolutely crazy, that we are, you know, we've become the laughing stock of the world, that we're just unwilling to accept science and recognize that we have a problem with global warming and climate change. And it's really scary. So I'm hopeful that will not be happening, because I do not think Donald Trump will be in office that much longer. And whatever you think of Mike Pence, I'm hopeful he would not follow every direction that his boss is following, that he would backtrack. And I think on that he would, maybe not the way it was, but I don't think he would want to destroy it. But we'd have to see.
Now, Ron, you would know more about this than I would. As I say, I'm just a goofy chemistry major, and I do admit
to...
That's
not goofy, that's a good major.
Do admit to dozing off a few times during my American history classes, and I do apologize for that.
That's funny.
Does the president have the ability just to say the EPA has gone bye-bye? Does it have to be approved by Congress, or can he just say the EPA no longer exists as of this date? What would be the process to do that?
Well, the thing is, if they don't fund, if the Congress agrees not to fund the EPA and they cut funding, then the agency could exist in theory, but it would not have money. But I think it really has to be wiped out by the Congress. But I'm not so sure that this Republican Congress, which is anti-regulation, would not, a majority in both houses, go for getting rid of the EPA. But I think the key thing is the Senate, with the 52 Republican senators. And now Rand Paul got involved in a dispute with his neighbor and has broken ribs that he's not able to be in D.C. for weeks, maybe more than that. So there may be a problem even getting 50 votes plus Vice President Pence to get a tax bill through. It is very possible that he will not accomplish, you know, that he will not accomplish that because of this event involving Senator Rand Paul. And there are a few senators on the Republican side who have doubts about the tax bill and about a lot of things, and they can stop any legislation, including getting rid of the EPA.
So if Donald Trump thinks he can just take his pen and sign an executive order to say bye-bye to the EPA, he possibly is living in a fantasy world. He can abolish it, but it's not quite that simple. There is a process.
No, he isn't living in a fantasy world. He's acting crazy all the time, as he has on this trip with his Twitter feed. It's just beyond belief. It's so embarrassing. He attacks three former presidents, Bush, Clinton, and Obama. He attacks the intelligence agencies while he's overseas. But he really believes what Vladimir Putin says is fact. And it's just, it's hard to believe. What would Nixon or Reagan or Joseph McCarthy of the Red Scare say about this? It's just beyond belief what's going on. It just doesn't make any sense.
Adam Lepp here, hosting a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Dr. Ronald Fineman, on the line with me here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Good morning, and thank you so much for letting us borrow your eardrums today. You will not be disappointed. Ron, before we get to some other matters, I thought I'd bring up a question. We haven't really discussed this much between us, but it's been a big news item. Any thoughts about all these celebrities and the sexual allegations, including some fake ones? George Takei, very beloved blogger and star of the show Star Trek, he is flatly denying any accusations of sexual assault, to the point where people are giving fake stories to counteract the real stories, and the whole thing is getting muddied. If a celebrity is guilty of a sexual indiscretion, that's very serious. But when you start accusing people without any reasonable grounds, then it starts getting very, very, very ugly.
You know, Dustin Hoffman and Richard Dreyfuss, for instance, have also been accused. The thing is, many of them have confessed to that fact. He has, and George Takei, but I don't know what to make of it. I don't like people making accusations that cannot easily be proved, but it does seem like, at least in Hollywood, this is very, very common, and apparently, I'm not so sure it isn't common in politics as well, as with Roy Moore. But again, it's very hard to prove something that happened 30, 40 years ago, but I really tend to believe in most cases it is true, but it is a sad thing because it does destroy the livelihoods and reputations of a lot of people, including Mark Halperin, the political guy who was on MSNBC and NBC and wrote Game Change, and now his partner, John Heilman, I guess has lost out on the book on the 2016 election. They were going to do it together, also going to have a film based on it. So he's losing a lot of money in that as well as Mark Halperin. And that's really sad, you know, that somebody else becomes a victim. And whenever they cancel a show, such as Kevin Spacey's, his series, it affects everybody that works on these series. Everybody, including the actors and the directors, and the staff and all the technical people. So it's really a tragic situation, I have to say that. But it does seem like it's true in most cases.
We've talked about how certain baseball players have been discovered to use performance-enhancing drugs. Roger Clemens, yes, for example, and that totally changed my opinion. I used to be an idol, and now I think he's a scumbucket would be a logical term to use, as I have no tolerance for players were definitely cheating. Barry Bonds was obvious, but some of these you really wouldn't suspect. Clemens came as a surprise to me. And you and I are both big fans of Dustin Hoffman. I'm certainly a Richard Dreyfuss fan. Mr. Holland's Opus would probably rank as one of my favorite movies. His acting is incredible, to put it mildly. And he was in Jaws also, so he's had a long history of many kinds of movies that he's been in. And Dustin Hoffman, I mean, can't find a better actor than that. I'm sure you were less than pleased to hear about that, Ron. And again, even if it's true, certainly our opinion, our idolizing of these actors is going to change. And it's really kind of sad.
I was stunned, particularly by Dustin Hoffman. He's always been my favorite actor. Richard Dreyfuss I liked, but not quite as much. You know? But Dustin Hoffman, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. It's really hard to accept. Of course, we're all human beings, and we all make mistakes, and we all do things that, I guess, in some way, we don't want everybody to know. I mean, we all have, shortcomings. but it is very disturbing, and it does change your view of people. But then again, some people would say you shouldn't have idols about anybody in politics or in entertainment. They're human beings, and not expect them to be perfect. But I guess we do tend to look at people as superhuman, you know, and that they're just ideal like we imagine they are.
Well, I'm not perfect either, but sexual molestation is not something that I practice, and it's inexcusable, and it's a criminal act. Right, it's a criminal act, and I think an excellent actor whose movies inspire, as a teacher, Ron, I think a movie like Mr. Holland's Opus certainly would inspire you to some extent, because it just shows how viable anybody in the educational field is. And we talk about Richard Dreyfuss. I mean, that guy seems about as pure as a driven snow, as I see it. His image it seems so clean. It just the very thought that he would be accused of this, especially if it's false, and then an ex-lover of George Takei makes accusations, and George says flat out that it's wrong. It seems like in some cases these people are trying to cash in and even making something up, and that's really
we
sad
don't
because
know how much to believe, right.
And if somebody is really guilty, well, it's a very serious issue. I mean, we went through the Bill Cosby thing, and we thought he was just an American hero, and look what happened there. And now we talk about idols or near idols of you and me, and Dustin Hoffman, for example. A chill goes in down my bones, and it's very sad. Hopefully, these people don't think that they are superhuman. They're very talented and very rich, and I think in some ways actors are powerful, but it doesn't mean that they aren't above the law. And we've seen that kind of with President Trump almost, and some of his comments that have gotten him into hot water. And you got to watch your mouth, and you got to watch what you do regardless of what position you're in.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, a lot of people, when they have money and power, or one or both, they think they're above the law. That's the problem, their arrogance. And I think that's particularly true in politics. But even in Hollywood, I think some of these people, especially the directors and producers, they're even worse than the actors, it seems. Yeah, it's like Harvey Weinstein, who doesn't deny, you know, most of this. So it's just amazing that he could do so much and get away with it for so long. You know?
Yeah, it's sad. Let's hope that something transpires here, we can get to the bottom of it, and there's total exoneration for anybody who is not guilty. George Takei is certainly an idol and a spokesman for so many people. And again, someone else with a squeaky clean image, despite, you know, being outspoken, but having an image of being such a good guy who's done so much.
You know, thinking about, you know, of course, there are lots of actors. I can think of one actor that I'm mentioning that there's no claim of anything, and hopefully not. But it's like, I think only person I could imagine offhand other than Dustin Hoffman that I could be more shocked by would be Tom Hanks. If anything came out about Tom Hanks, but thank God, it seems like nothing is so. If that happens, then I'm ready to give up Hollywood.
Right, and we think like Robin Williams, a very tragic death, and that he suffered from depression. I mean, what a talent. And I thank goodness nothing ever came of him. I can't possibly see him as being anything other than a great person to everybody. But sometimes you never know. A lot of the stuff, it's what do you get away with? But I just don't. Dustin Hoffman and Richard Dreyfuss, I just don't see it. Now, maybe I'm turning a blind eye because of my admiration
I agree,
for them. I just, you know, Bill Cosby, I tell you, I give a little second thought to that one. But Richard Dreyfuss and Dustin Hoffman, I just don't see it, but I'm not people smart enough to judge. But let's hope.
You know, you can think you know somebody even you work with, and you really don't know them, because everybody has maybe something, maybe, that you don't know about, you know, and then you discover otherwise. Just like, you know, people go out and murder people, and you would never think that person could have done it, but you never know. You don't know how human beings react to things.
Yeah, you don't know. Life throws you a curve. The minute you thought you had stuff figured out. Speaking about the President Donald, Ron, that's usually what we spend most of our show on, so it's always good to digress a little bit. It seems like Donald, I think 71 years old, and Kim Jong-un, who's like about around 34, they appear to be resorting to name-calling like they're 10-year-old kids on the playground.
Yes.
Where Un called Trump old. And again, you're older than Donald Trump, Ron, and I don't think that's old. You're as old as you feel.
No, I don't feel that old. I just feel unhappy. My birthday's coming in December, but, you know, but that's life. But I don't feel, and I don't think I act.
You're only as old as you feel. And then Donald Trump called Kim Jong-un short and fat. Now, granted, he isn't the most physically fit gentleman out there, nor will he be trying out for the basketball team anytime soon. But I still think it was rude. I mean, you don't want to resort to name calling and not and acting like again like you're a third grader on a playground. I think world leader is above that.
Yeah, the one thing I'll be using the word fat. Let's face it, Donald Trump is heavy. He's third heaviest president after William Howard's after Grover Cleveland. So, and of course he's twice the age. But you know, I don't know if he means the word fat when he's thinking about himself. I don't think I would go around insulting people if I was having one of the same situations of the person I'm accusing in a nasty way. So I think that's not very bright to do that.
Bottom line is, world leaders need to act.
He said he's dumb. Did he say he's dumb? I think he said it one more. Don't call it, whatever that means.
Yeah,
I say he is dumb and fat, our president. So instead of being short and fat, he's dumb and fat or tall and fat. But let's face it, he certainly is not in good shape.
Certainly, Donald Trump likes to say that people aren't qualified to be dog catcher if he's not a fan of their brain cells. And hard to say that without giggling, but it is true. That's what he said about Rubio. And about Corker, so who knows what he might say about Oon. I think
and lying Ted Cruz, don't forget. Also.
Yeah, I think world leaders need to act like world leaders and be gentlemen. Again, Obama, love him or hate him, he would never possibly say something like that. He was always a gentleman.
Maybe in private he would, but not in public. Everybody can say things in private, you know, in your head, but you don't speak it out loud. That's the point. Or publish it that way, no.
So we'll see what happens, and let's hope that everybody can get along and act at least, at least twice, at least not your age, not your shoe size, at least act twice your shoe size. And
I want to make a point that it's almost 60 days since North Korea did any nuclear testing, and people are wondering if that's just accidental or it means something. It may mean something. I think it was September 15th. Okay, so today, Tuesday, is, what is it? It's the 15th, yeah. It's the 15th, or is it the 14th, I guess.
The 14th, because Halloween was the 31st, right?
Yeah, okay. So, 2 months. So that's something to wonder about, what that means. Maybe, you know, maybe the threat of any further provocation is over. I don't know, but it's interesting nothing has happened. And certainly now, while Trump was in Asia, he could have done it, and he's still there, for, you know, a couple of days more until he comes back to the Philippines. But, I mean, he is basically done with this trip by the time we're now speaking, I think by tomorrow, Wednesday. So it means, you know, that maybe it has some meaning. I don't know.
Ron, it would seem that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump both like to talk a big talk. And when it comes to something like nuclear war, that's a pretty serious topic, and we don't even like them talking about it. And thankfully, the threat does not appear to be a real one at this point. But I don't think it's something you want to joke about. They need to talk about something different. And again, the name-calling just shows a credibility issue as I see it.
I agree with you.
And so hopefully we don't have that threat and we can move forward. Obviously, world leaders aren't always going to get along, but we need to exist with them, just like with anything. And that's part of the fun, I guess, the enrichment of living in the great world that we do. We have differing opinions, but it's better just to get along. And it seems like the world climate right now is very tense.
Yes, I would say the goal should be to disagree agreeably.
That'd be the best advice I could say. Ron, if Donald Trump were to call you and ask you for advice on how to conduct himself during his meeting to Asia, what would you tell him?
Well, the thing is, by this point, he's pretty much finished. I would have said to him, don't go on Twitter and don't use outrageous rhetoric and don't necessarily believe that everything people tell you in person is true, because he has already made it clear that because of Putin constantly saying that, you know, that he did not meddle, that he believes him. You can listen to what he says. You're not going to get him to say that he did anything, but you don't have to believe him. And also, I have to say that his time in China, after attacking China on trade, he ended up not blaming China for the trade, instead blaming the last three presidents for it. And they all laughed, and I think they were realizing he was acting in a very cowardly way, rather than point blank in their face saying that you are being unfair to us in trade. Instead, he passes it on to the three former presidents most recently, and that's really cowardly, because it is a problem of China trade, and yet he seems to want to have the you know, I guess the good wishes of President Xi, and I think President Xi is playing him, and that's what others have said, the intelligence agency people have said, that they're playing him. You know, they're saying what he wants to say, they're giving him a grand welcome, a royal welcome, and he loves all that attention, but that really he's not a good person to make deals because everything is flattery with them, and that's dangerous.
Do you think with this trip winding down that Donald Trump has learned more about world politics and how to conduct himself with world leaders? I mean, certainly he was lacking in that skill when he was elected. Has this helped him at all?
I really honestly don't think so. No, I don't think he has improved. I think he's proved that he's in over his head. I don't think he understands world issues. I don't think he really understands a lot. And he constantly contradicts the Secretary of State Tillerson and at times Secretary of Defense Mattis and National Security Advisor McMaster. And I know from reading elsewhere that it's a frustrating situation at the White House because he gives out different messages than his cabinet members do.
So he may be a little too arrogant to listen, but let's hope something will get through his head and maybe we can...
I believe that, yes.
Let's hope something will have an influence on him. I guess you never really know. You can't always tell what's going on in the mind of a president, but let's hope that it's something which will be beneficial. The Mueller investigation, Ron, again, trying to investigate shenanigans in the White House that are possibly illegal or criminal. What's your current take on the status of that at this point, mid-November?
Well, from what I've been reading, I think there's going to be a lot of indictments very soon beyond the ones already done. I think what's probably happening is that Mueller is waiting until the president returns. Maybe he feels he should not do this while he's overseas. But I think by the end of this week, a couple of days from now, when he is back, I think tomorrow, Wednesday, he's coming back. I think after that, I think we're going to see a number of indictments, and there's an awful lot of evidence gathering. And even Stephen Miller, who's one of the loyalists to Trump, has been interviewed, and so has so many others, and Sean Spicer. And I do think that it's a sign that there's going to be more indictments, and you know, I really think there's going to be a massive crisis soon, and I do think it's going to put Trump in a very bad situation to stay in office. I really think, I still predict that he will not be in office beyond next May 27th, the Zachary Taylor anniversary of 492 days, but I think possibly sooner, like around March 15th, the Ides of March.
But we're still of the belief that this is the most corrupt administration since Nixon.
Yes, but most corrupt since Nixon. But if you look at the cabinet members and all the stuff that's coming out about them, I think this is a more corrupt cabinet than Nixon, who had some good people, and also than Grant and Harding. Now, in the case of Trump, I honestly think the only ones I really feel comfortable with is the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, the U.N. Ambassador, Nikki Haley. I think that's pretty close to it. I'm not really sure anybody else I would really be very approving of. They all have their shortcomings. Some of them are actually corrupt, as we now know, as far as taking trips on government expense that they didn't have to take, and just other issues. And we have a couple that are really not terribly qualified for their job, such as Perry, Energy Secretary, and, of course, Carson as HUD Secretary. They just are not qualified for the jobs they hold. So between incompetence and corruption, except for the few I mentioned, I think it's the worst cabinet we've ever had as a group.
You are listening to a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Dr. Ronald Fineman, good friend of mine and of the radio station, discussing as we approach Thanksgiving time and almost the holiday season in this mid-November. Current state of world affairs and U.S. politics as Donald Trump rounds out his trip to the great continent of Asia. Before we say goodbye during this episode, Ron, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I certainly want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, you know, coming up next week. And of course, the season for shopping is at its peak now. Imagine the day after Thanksgiving will be absolutely crazy, as we all know. I want to wish all the listeners who have been very patient to listen to you and me in the last number of months and hope to continue doing this.
And lastly, Ron, let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you. You do invite questions, comments, and people
yes.
who disagree with
well,
you. They're happy to contact you and debate an issue. What's the best way to reach you?
Okay, well, on Facebook, my name, Ronald Feynman, also under Assassination Threats in the American Presidency, which is my book that I published, which is now in paperback from Roman Littlefield and can be gotten at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million. Also under The Progressive Professor on Facebook, and I have my blog, The Progressive Professor, that I write on every day, and I'm on Twitter at Politis, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T.
And thanks again, Ron, for being with us on this November 14th. Hard to imagine only a month and a half left of 2017. 2017 being a rather tumultuous year with a lot of news headlines, as we've discussed pretty much every time you've been on the air with us. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
And thank you very much for inviting me again.
And I encourage you not to touch that knob. Unless you plan on increasing the volume, which is fine with me, because more great programming comes up after the 11 a.m. features. News, weather, voiced by our very own Scott Spears. Previews of past, present, and future shows. Messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters. That's all coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then it's Linda Sims. And she'll be in until noon. And then it's Now with Scott Spears. Sometimes we have a guest host. You'll have to just listen and find out who will be behind the WWGH microphones right after the noon features. Again, if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Feynman, please go to our website and you'll see some posts. And we call him our resident political and historical expert. Nice photograph where he was at a book signing. Information about the professor and archives of the shows we've done with him, both myself and Scott. If you'd like to be a guest on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam or on the Adam the Computer Guy show, that would be wonderful also. We encourage all viewpoints, people from all walks of life. We could actually tape a segment at your home or office, or you can come in the studio. Or come into my home studio. Many ways to accomplish this. Again, send me an email. Would love to talk to you about it. Adam@WWGH1071.com.
See you later, alligator. What you told me nearly made me lose my head. When the thought of what you told me nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. I said, wait a minute, Gator.